And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. It's game time, son. You know, I'm kind of jealous for the listeners because they're listening to this tomorrow morning, which means they're that much closer to SEC play than we are. So we finally got a ball game coming on tonight, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and everybody's in a good mood this week except for old Zach Smith from Ohio State.
Yeah, right? We're all undefeated right now.
Well, speaking of high hopes, you know, Florida's gotten a lot of hype here lately. I think there was a CBS commentator that picked Florida to go to the playoff this year. You know, someone else that's kind of buying into that is a computer simulation.
The old
NCAA video game. Someone updated the rosters and simulated the season. And the EA Sports game is predicting Florida and Alabama to meet in Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
Golly.
And they simulated the game. You can actually go on YouTube and watch the entire damn game. And Alabama won it 23-20. Aside from making me miss NCAA football, any reaction to this simulation pick in Florida to win the East?
Well, obviously this game needs an update. You know, it's it's missed a few years. So, I mean, could it happen? Maybe, but most likely not. I think we're looking at Alabama, Georgia. So unless they pumped up that roster better than they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the only way I'm seeing it, too. Maybe some of these Georgia rosters have not been updated or something. I'm not sure.
That's what I'm thinking.
And speaking of unrealistic scenarios here, I don't know if you caught this or not, but Clay Travis has released his playoff top four, you know, the four that he predicts to be in the upcoming playoff. He's going with Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, and Auburn. So my question to you, Shane, do you ever see a day in a four-team college football playoff that two teams from the same division make it in?
I think it will happen one day. I mean, maybe it happens. I mean, eventually, I think it will happen in our lifetime. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but you look back, you know, it wasn't that long ago Alabama and LSU played for a national championship. So it is feasible. If those are the top two teams, it's feasible to have two in the same conference in the top four.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. No, I never thought that two teams from the same conference would make the four-team playoff, and that obviously happened last year, so I could be wrong again, but I'm not sure how this goes down other than, you know, I think both teams would have to be undefeated before they met. And I think they would need a lot of help from the other conferences. They would kind of need a couple two-loss teams.
Right.
And I think it's just tough to get a team into the playoff that did not win its conference. And I think the only way that happened last year was just because it's Alabama, they just get the benefit of the doubt. They didn't have to play for the SEC title, and I think that worked. That obviously worked in their favor. They basically got an additional bye week. But I don't know. I'm just not buying this. Even a lot of people are saying the Big Ten East is great. I couldn't even see them getting two teams from the same division in.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had to choose, you had to put $100 on it, which is more likely to happen, two from the West making the playoffs or no teams in the SEC making the playoffs?
I would actually say no teams from the SEC making the playoff, because I think a lot of people assume that the SEC champion just gets in every year, and I don't think that's the case. I know that it hasn't happened where there's an upset in the title game, but you know, until last year, you know, it's Alabama going up against two Florida teams that were not good. And prior to that, it was two Missouri teams that were not that good getting in.
Right.
If one of those Florida or Missouri teams would win in a playoff era, I don't think the playoff committee is automatically just going to give them a playoff berth. And I don't think they're going to take a team that didn't win the SEC. So I think there will be a day when the SEC doesn't get in, and it's going to be when the favorite in the SEC title game loses, and there's just, you know, the champion of the SEC is not one of the top four teams in the nation.
We're going to see some riots then, Mike. Could you imagine no SEC teams making the – I mean, I think that they'd lose so many viewers, and I don't know. There'd be riots in the streets. They'd have a six-game playoff before you know it.
Yeah, you may be right. Let's jump into College Station, though, because the Aggies got a game, believe it or not, on Thursday. So this is pretty exciting. This football is back for real tomorrow. And it starts with Jimbo Fisher, and he confirmed that Kellen Mond, the sophomore quarterback, is going to start. Any comments to Kellen Mond officially getting named the starter there in College Station?
Well, I'm glad. You know, I mean, he's competing just like the others down there, and I did watch a couple highlights of him last year against Alabama, and the kid can make things happen with his legs, and maybe that's what they need this year, you know, especially maybe not this week, obviously, but maybe it's good preparation for week two, because that's when it's really going to matter. So I just hope we don't see a lot of flip-flopping. I just hope if Mond's the guy, they stick with him. Give him some confidence going into that Clemson game. Now, you know, do you have that clip where he had the interview earlier? Because he sounds like he's ready, man.
Yeah, so Kellen Mond met with the media on Wednesday, and he was just asked about winning the competition down there in College Station, and you know, they asked him why he deserved to start. So let's play this quick clip, and then we'll discuss it.
Why do you believe you're the start? Why do you believe you should be the starting quarterback?
I feel like my work ethic and the kind of work I put in this offseason has kind of led me and put me in a good position to succeed in this offense, and I feel like the confidence that I kind of breed and give off to everybody else has helped me become the starter this year.
All right, Chain, Mond sounds like a confident guy. You know, I think he understands he is the more talented quarterback down there. While he may not fit what people assume the ideal quarterback is in the Jimbo Fisher offense, but I think it says something about him that he won the job regardless.
Absolutely. And Fisher's not just rolling him out there because he wants to take a chance. He's rolling him out there because he thinks he's the best quarterback. So, like I said, you know, he had some flashes last year, showed real potential. So I'm kind of excited to see what they do. I don't think this is going to be a game at all, you know, but at least it's going to give him an opportunity to get acclimated with the offense. And like I said, you know, focus on the next week.
Yeah, and the big thing for Mond was just being more consistent with his arm. And there's been people suggesting that he's completing about 80% of his passes in Jimbo Fisher's offense during training camp. So,
golly, 80%? He could start on any team.
That worries me about the A&M defense. But, you know, outside of that, let's say realistically he's around the high 60s. If he can do that all season long, I continue to think A&M is going to be a legit contender in the SEC West this year.
Well, you heard Jimbo. He's wanting to make a run this year. He ain't waiting.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Knoxville. Good old Rocky Top. Where Jeremy Pruitt, he gave a little bit of an update on every Tennessee Volunteer's favorite Where's Waldo character, J.J. Peterson. He was asked point blank, J.J. on campus. Pruitt said, "We're still in a holding pattern. I'm sure it's going to get ruled on." He's talking about the NCAA there. "As soon as we know, everyone else will know." Well, no one else knows, so I guess Tennessee doesn't know at this point.
I mean, I'm giving up, man.
Do you even care at this point? I mean, what is this guy going to add to the team if he missed all of spring, he missed all of summer, he's missed all of training camp? I think people are assuming he's just going to step onto the field and be outstanding, but, you know, what's the point, you know?
Exactly. I mean, the last time I got this pumped up about a player coming in and stepping in to take over was Kongbo, and I mean, he still hasn't done it. So I've been over this thing for a while, and You know, I am curious though, what's going to happen to get him up here if he does make it, because who knows? Even though it may be 4, 5, 6, 7 games in, it's still depth at a position we need depth at. So I still want him up here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you, but I just don't think he's going to see the field in any meaningful scenarios, even if he does get there.
Nah, probably not.
But staying
maybe
on,
give him four. They could four game him and then redshirt him.
Staying with Tennessee, Chris Lowe, you know, he recently went up to Knoxville, did a lot of interviews with not only Jeremy Pruitt, but some of the members of the Tennessee program. And they released that footage today. And I thought some of this was pretty interesting. You know, Lowe was asking him point blank, you know, you weren't Tennessee's favorite candidate. What are your thoughts on that? And let's play this clip from Jeremy Pruitt, and then we'll discuss it.
It's not a big secret. You weren't Tennessee's first choice. But here you are with a shot in the SEC to get a place back that's been the essence of instability. What do you want your stamp to be on this place?
Well, you know, Chris, if you looked at my background, I was probably not a lot of people's first choice over the years. 12 years ago, I was coaching high school ball, and 20 years ago, I was plumbing a house. So, to me, I was Philip Fulmer's first choice, and that's what matters to me.
All right, Shane, does that fire you up some Tennessee football or what?
Well, hell yeah, it does. That's the best. Out of all the interviews he's had, that's my favorite one so far. I don't know. It just sounded positive And, you know, I like when he said, what's the biggest difference you saw?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, the intensity in practice. And, you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize. If you're not practicing hard, you don't play hard. And maybe Tennessee's been kind of, you know, obviously they haven't been great in that department. So having a coach that expects excellence, you know, I think it's going to come back and help us out quite a bit when, especially week one.
Yeah, and you mentioned practice there. You know, Jeremy Pruitt had some other interesting comments. He was talking about freshman quarterback JT Shrout being the scout team quarterback. So let's play this clip from Jeremy Pruitt discussing the value of JT Shrout playing on the practice squad this year.
He wants to be really good. You know, I think having an opportunity to really run different people's offenses across the you know, really across our schedule, you know, will probably make him more aware and have more awareness as a quarterback. I think it gives him an opportunity to kind of be the leader of the team. You know, that's his offense, you know, and what kind of impact can he have on his teammates? Because, you know, lots of times these freshmen or sophomores, whoever it may be, the guys that are on the scout team, you know, sometimes they look at it as a negative. It's not a negative. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve as a player. And for him, I think, especially in the last 4 or 5 days, he has really improved. And as he's improved doing it, so has the offensive scout team.
When you hear those comments from Pruitt, Shane, I mean, that kind of continues, you know, your narrative there that, you know, practice really does matter. That I think this is obviously something that Jeremy Pruitt preaches and he practices, and you know, he's noted as a great coach and developer, and I think it all starts for him on the practice field.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if you've picked up on this, but I think JT's got a little special place in Pruitt's heart, because you know, he mentions him just about every time they talk about quarterback controversies, and I think he's excited about the future he has with that guy. I mean, he's got to put some weight on and get some experience, but what better avenue than to do scout and learn a different offense every time you're going out there.
Yeah, so I, you know, you continue to hear comments like this. I think, you know, Tennessee fans have to be pretty excited about the class of freshmen that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff got together in about a month's time, because a lot of them weren't touted, but they continue to seem like guys that have a real future at Tennessee.
Exactly, and that's what it's all about, is developing these players. It's something we haven't had in a long time. So if that happens, you know, your 4-stars become 5s, your 3s become 4s, your team just gets better. So I'm hoping these guys are learning quite a bit, and I'm excited about the future of Tennessee.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tuscaloosa and talk some Alabama football.
Roll Tide!
I don't know if you caught these comments here from a Louisville lineman, but according to the Louisville Courier-Journal, Lucamay McNeil He had some bold comments here. He's a senior offensive lineman for the Cardinal.
That's right.
And he was asked about facing Alabama's front seven, and this is what he said. I understand they got a good, deep front, but we got a great O-line. So if we can dominate up front, then we're not worried about the defensive front at all. I definitely think we're capable of going out, starting off fast, and dominating their defensive line. Are you buying this talk that Louisville's going to dominate the trenches there against Alabama?
No. No, absolutely not. But I'm glad that he is. You know, I mean, obviously the coaching staff has got these guys fired up because it's every week they're coming out saying something about Alabama. I don't think it's smart to make it public, you know, just because Alabama is focused on you now. You've called out the secondary now. You've called out the defensive line. And that's the last thing you want to do is call out Nick Saban's defense because they're going to make you pay. And I don't know. But on the flip side of the coin, you got to go into a game expecting to win. If you don't, then you're going to get blown out. So these guys seem pretty motivated.
Yeah, and this has been a constant theme. The receivers at Louisville are talking the big game. Bobby Petrino's out there. Well, he didn't guarantee victories, but he said they are going to win from talking to a bunch of boosters. So, you know, this Louisville team seems to have confidence. This is not the first time a team has had confidence going up against Alabama in an opener. Nick Saban's teams always seem to smash early in the year. So,
yeah,
this could be just some bold talk for nothing. But,
this isn't Louisiana Lafayette either. You know, I mean, it was a couple of years ago. These guys were competing for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, Lamar's not there anymore, but I mean, the team still was good. So I'm hoping that we have a good ball game here. I think it's going to be close at half, but I do think Alabama will pull away with this thing.
Close at half.
I really do, man. I really do. I think this will be a close game at half. I think they're going to come out with some stuff that Alabama has never seen before, because Bobby can draw them up, man. And but I think a little halftime adjustment from Nick, you know, usually ends bad for the other team.
All right, speaking of Alabama, Shane, Tim Brando, he went off on the Crimson Tide and their weak-ass schedule. What were your thoughts?
It's about damn time.
Let's play this clip from Tim Brando. He's just, I don't think he's doing a little bit more than blowing smoke these days, but these comments kind of rang true to both of us. So here's Tim Brando.
Nobody talks about how easy Alabama's got it. But that is one pathetic schedule they're trotting out there, saying hello to the Citadel, Ooh La La, and Arkansas State non-conference. You got to be kidding me. And no one, I repeat, no one. I didn't see that in Roll Tide on ESPN the other night. I didn't see anything about that really tough schedule he's preparing those guys for. But it's out there.
All right, Shane. That seems to be kind of the same stuff we've been saying it, but he found a stronger way of conveying it. What are your thoughts on old Tim Brando there going off on the Tide?
It is ridiculous. I mean, you know, these schedules are made 10 years out. You know, 9 years ago, they won a national championship. So these teams that they're facing, they knew weren't going to be dominant. I mean, I don't have this year's schedule. Do you have who are their non-conference opponents this year?
Well, they open in Louisville in right. Orlando. Then they return home for Arkansas State. Then they get Louisiana Lafayette. And then the week before the Iron Bowl, they play the Citadel.
Oh, the Citadel. That could be close.
Even next year. Check this out. Speaking of the Citadel, when Brandon Kennedy, who's Tennessee's starting center now, when he wanted to leave Alabama, Nick Saban blocked him from going to the Citadel. I swear
didn't
to God.
Want
to
give away anything, huh? Well, I mean, look at next year. They got Duke. I got this pulled up. They got Duke, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, Western Carolina. You know, the year after they got USC, but they also got Georgia State and Kent State. So, I mean, I do like how he tries to fit one good team in there. Mm-hmm. But the others are just a joke. There's so many other teams to choose from and probably a lot of schools that you don't have to pay near as much money to play and then turn around on the other side begging people to stay at your games, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right on there.
Hell yeah, I'm right on.
Leaving Alabama, let's jump to Starkville. You know, obviously Nick Fitzgerald suspended for the opening game of the season. That means Katon Thompson, he's going to get another start. He started the Tax Slayer Bowl last year, and that was a game that Mississippi State upset Louisville and Lamar Jackson, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. They beat him 31-27, and you know, I just thought this was some interesting comments from Katon Thompson just speaking on, you know, he just found out last week he was going to start for the opener. So let's play these clips and then we'll discuss it.
Well, I found out Friday and, you know, I always had that mentality, you know, being one play away. So, you know, I just took it, you know, and went on with my day and continued to prepare for the game. Like I said, you know, you're always one play away, so you're always preparing like a starter anyway. So, I mean, my approach didn't change at all.
How much do you lean on the experience that you got last year in the bowl game to take on this starting role?
I mean, that was great. I mean, you know, I think I got some of the nerves out of the way getting that first start in. And it gives me a lot of confidence heading into week one this year. From the preseason to now, I mean, the QB room hasn't changed. You know, we all support whoever the starter is at the time. You know, we have a great camaraderie in the QB room. And, you know, we all for each other.
All right, Shane, a lot of confidence coming from Thompson. What does it say about the Mississippi State quarterback room that these guys, you know, they have two guys they know they can win with, and it seems like they both support each other regardless of the situation?
Yeah, because Fitz knows who's the man, you know. This is a one-week deal. I wouldn't read too much into this. They got an easy game coming up, so. But it is nice to have a reliable backup because you never know what can happen, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, believe it or not, I think Thompson, when he leaves Mississippi State down the road a couple years from now, I would be so bold as to say he could be the best quarterback in school history, and that includes Dak Prescott.
What?
Based on what we've seen, he came in. I believe he was the only four-star quarterback Dan Mullen ever signed at Mississippi State. He's lived up to that hype last year as a true freshman for the most part. He struggled a little bit in the Egg Bowl, but then he came on strong. I think he's going to have a huge day here in the opener. I don't think there's any kind of quarterback controversy because Nick Fitzgerald has been voted team captain. So I don't think that. But I don't think this is a situation where they're just going to play Thompson one time and then that'll be it. I think he's going to see quite a bit of snaps this year. You know, mostly in probably the games that don't matter. But even in the conference play, I think he'll see some action. So.
What year is he?
He will be a true sophomore this year. So they need to get him ready heading into his junior year to compete, not only compete, but assume that starting role for the Mississippi State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they just – again, do you want to burn a red shirt off somebody you think may be the best quarterback you've ever seen? I mean, it seems to me like, yeah, we'll roll him out week one, but let's try to keep him off the field, you know, unless we really need him.
Well, I think the new redshirt rule, I think people are they're reading too much into it because I have seen those same comments about like Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields. I think these quarterbacks that are this good, they're not looking at 5 years at a school. They want
right. They
want four or three and done. So I think he's going to be pushing to get on the field, to get himself ready for a big junior season, maybe go to the NFL then. I mean, that may be a little too much, but I just don't think most of these guys are looking at it at a proposition where, you know, I'm guaranteed to stay 5 years, particularly quarterbacks. It just seems like if they're not playing right away, they're leaving. So,
yeah,
a guy like this, I don't think they're going to be able to redshirt him because I think he's too good to keep off the field.
Well, that's big for coach, you know, because he's got something to look forward to next year and build around. So hopefully they keep the recruits coming in because last thing you want to lose is momentum. Because Mississippi State's going to have it this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, leaving Starkville, let's jump to Athens.
Get him, dog!
The Austin Peay head coach, that's the Bulldogs' opening opponent here. He was on Paul Feinbaum's show today, and, you know, he kind of made fun of himself a little bit. I like this brevity heading into a big game against Georgia. Let's play this clip from this Austin Peay joker.
I have tried to get some people to make sure they talk to Kirby where he's at least seen a picture and doesn't think I'm just some random guy trying to be in the Kirby Smart fan club at midfield before the game starts.
Are you worried about that? Are you worried that you need a handler so that way before the game you know you don't have to go out there and introduce yourself to Kirby Smart?
I just need some of the guys on the staff that I know to be like, hey, that's him. The guy that looks 12 over there at midfield, that's him. He's waiting on
you. All right, Chan, it sounds like he's pretty fired up to meet Kirby Smart. What do you, what do you think about that?
I love it, man. That's hilarious. You know, he's giving him photos, so he knows he's not a Kirby follower, that he's the actual head coach. So I love it. They're telling Kirby which guy to shake hands with, you know. I mean, you gotta laugh. Obviously Austin Peay doesn't have a shot in hell at this game, but you know, it's good experience for the players, the fans, good practice for Georgia, and they all know it, you know. Plus, Austin Peay's probably making a nice little dime off this game.
Oh, I'm sure they are, but, you know, before they leave, one thing they are going to do, without a doubt, they're going to see Justin Fields make his college debut. And there was also, speaking of Paul Feinbaum's show, Tony Barnhart was on the show today, and he had some pretty bold comments for Justin Fields, so we're going to play this quick clip from Tony Barnhart.
What are they going to do with Justin Fields? Jake Fromm is a guy who started 15 games and came that close to winning a national championship. But I'm being told by people at practice and stuff that Justin Fields is a Deshaun Watson generational type talent.
All right, Chain, I've heard Fields compared to Marcus Mariota and Deshaun Watson this offseason. I mean, is this the greatest quarterback of all time or what?
Good God. They got a stud on the sideline, don't they? They done crowned him.
So what happens if he comes out here and scores four touchdowns against Austin Peay? I mean, do you think there's a legit chance that he steals the job from Jake Fromm by season's end?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know Fromm's going to get you to the playoffs, or at least close to it.
Right.
Does Fields help your opportunity to win a national championship? You know, that's kind of what they got to – if he's as good as they're saying he is, then absolutely he's gonna get on that field, and he's going to take every opportunity he can to show that he should be the number one. And if – you know, Kirby's no dummy. If he sees that Fields is better, he's gonna roll with him, because you're looking for that X factor when you get to those playoffs. You're looking for that, I mean, because everybody's good, so you got to have somebody that can separate or make your team that much better. And everything I'm hearing, Fields is that guy.
Yeah, I think this is more interesting than the Alabama one, because I think everyone knows who the best player there at Alabama, and There's just an unknown here with Justin Fields. I think it's going to be incredibly hard for him to live up to the hype, but if he does...
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Jake Fromm is a really underrated player, but if Fields is as good as they say, I mean, this... You know, the only danger of signing so many five-star quarterbacks, I think it could derail the locker room, and it could do a lot of damage, too.
Yeah, for sure. And I tell you, man, there's 8, 9... freaking teams out there in the SEC that love to have Fromm. And sometimes, you know, younger isn't better either. I mean, I don't want to just buy into Fields just from what I'm hearing. You know, there may be a situation they roll him out there, and then when a game gets real tight, can he compete like Fromm? You know, can he be safe with the ball? Can, I don't know. You know what they say, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And if you think you could do better, and then you try to force it, then it could backfire on you too. So
yeah,
I don't know.
There's no going back once you pull that trigger. And
exactly,
if Fromm, you know, he may not have that wow factor when you watch him play, but I think you really hit on it there. What he did have was that clutch gene, and
yeah,
you know, starting all the way back from, a lot of people forget how tough that Notre Dame game was, week 2, went on the road, his first career start at Notre Dame, got that win, and then they just kind of went on a huge roll there.
Exactly. And here you got Fields. He's your future. Let's say you roll him out there. He does bad. You pull him, and you put Fromm back in. Fields is ruined. I mean, his psyche is going to be – I mean, he's going to have to get counseling in the offseason to get back, you know, because quarterbacks are, you know, they're alpha dogs, and if you do something like that and rock, you know, as good as he thought he was, then this could backfire on them. They got a great situation. I think you roll with Fromm, and if Fields proves it, then absolutely put him out there, but don't force it.
All right, Shane, leaving the SEC news front, I did want to talk to you quickly about a couple SEC bets that caught my eye today. And these are, according to Bovada Online Sportsbook, the number one bet for the over-under win totals, and this is for the over. Everyone's betting Kentucky with that number at 5.5. Now, Kentucky's coming off back-to-back seven-win seasons. What's your take on people just driving up that over 5.5 for Kentucky?
I'm not as big on Kentucky as most people, but 5.5, I do think they beat that. I think this is a 6, possibly 7-win team. And now they could surprise people and go any further, but I really don't think that they're going to lose more than that. I mean, that seems like a safe bet in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they've got 7 home games, so you got to figure they've got a good chance in just about all those. They do go to Louisville. That's a winnable game, I think. They go to Missouri. They go to Tennessee. They go to Florida. I'm not saying they're going to win all those or they'll be favored in all of them, but I think you got to think they'll be competitive in every single one of those.
Yeah.
And the only other road game is at Texas A&M, and it remains to be seen how great they are. So, I'm on record thinking Kentucky could win 8 or 9 this year. So, yeah, this is a slam dunk to me, and it seems like the gambling public has kind of come around to it as well.
For sure.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, this may break your heart, Shane, but
don't you do it. Don't you do it, Mike.
The heaviest under total is LSU. Their number's at 7.5. They lead the nation in under bets. Thoughts on your boy Coach O being bet against here?
That's a horrible bet because Coach O's going to win. He's going to not only win games, he's going to win everybody's heart, and he's going to be back next year.
Now, I think it's been 20 – I think it's 20 years since LSU has not won 8 games in a regular season. So they're basically saying, Coach
this
O.
This is the year?
Yeah. And this is coming off a 9-win season. It should have been a 10-win season. Well, it really should have been 11 if you count Troy, but I was thinking of the bowl game there. But I don't know. I've kind of been mentioned before, I was low on LSU as well, just like everybody else, but I think so many people have jumped on that boat. I've jumped back to the other side. I think LSU's underrated. I think they're going to surprise some people this year, and I don't think they're going to be quite as bad as people are making them out to be.
Exactly. They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it. Then everybody's going to be singing a different tune.
Well, Shane, that's 2 episodes in a row you've given away your Friday pick for the LSU game. So just, let's see if we can make it 3 for 3 next time.
Well, I'm just giving you a little hint.
Okay,
telling you who's going to win. They're just going to be physically dominating.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it for me, unless you got anything you want to discuss before we jump off here.
Well, of course, brother. We got some fan mail. I've got some iTunes reviews, and I've got it here somewhere. Okay, here we go. All right, this is, and again, I appreciate all the listeners, especially ones that took the time to give us a 5-star heart rating, and it really means a lot to us. This first one comes from Richard, that's a Flyer, F-L-I-E-H-R, so I'm going to say Richard Flair. I like it. And he says, great daily roundup of SEC news. This show has become my daily go-to source for keeping up with the news of the day in the SEC football. Both are Tennessee guys, but they are clear about their backgrounds, and Mike in particular doesn't give the Vols any special treatment. Ain't that the truth? I don't think he's got us winning a game this year. Shane may be a big Tennessee homer, but he's good people. It shows love to other programs as well. If you're a fan of any school in the SEC and want to stay abreast of the ins and outs of the season, now that it's upon us, this is the podcast for you. So I appreciate that, Richard.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Now, this next one is from Few Dollars, and it's titled The Best from a UGA Fan. Love y'all's pod. Keep it up and don't change with success. And I really appreciate, like I said, I appreciate everybody taking the time for writing these reviews, and I tell you, Richard, you keep writing big words like that, I'm gonna have to start letting Mike read these things.
Nice.
So that's all I got, man. I'm ready for some football. Listeners today, they got a game coming up. You got some stuff. What's going on tomorrow? We got some good stuff going on tomorrow.
Yes, sir. We've got, I don't want to give away any information here, but we got some cool guests coming up. We're going to break down some of the bigger games in the SEC this week on the upcoming episode. So a lot going on here, and hopefully the best is yet to come on that SEC podcast.
Real quick, before we go, who you got tonight, Texas A&M or Louisiana Tech Lafayette A&M?
I'm going to have to go with the Aggies.
Me too, brother. All right, man. That's all I got. Go Vols.
All right, Shane. See ya.